We're going to be looking at someone today whose life was transformed by knowing the living God. And what's really exciting to me is that this is the same living God you and I get to know. I've entitled this morning's message, A Summer of No Regrets. After a rainy spring, at least in central Pennsylvania it was rainy, it's starting to feel like summer now, right? School is out, it's the end of a holiday weekend, the five-day club is around the corner, but really, having no regrets is probably something we want beyond just this summer, right? For a lifetime, for all seasons of life. For me, it just helps to kind of look at the season at hand. I mean, if I want to have a life of no regrets, I need to start with having a summer of no regrets. We don't want to get to the end of the summer saying things like, I wish I would have. I wish I would have, you know, I'm not talking about I wish I would have seen the new Toy Story movie for the sixth time, or I wish I would have, you know, I wish I didn't fall asleep in the sun. You know, those may be truly unfortunate events, but that's not the kind of regret I'm talking about. I'm talking about things that can keep us from all that God has for us. A number of years ago, I went on a vacation with some friends, and almost everything was great. The weather was beautiful, the ocean water was warm. I even tasted this funny-smelling seafood, and I didn't get too sick afterwards. Almost everything was great. One thing that wasn't so great was I just, for whatever reason, wasn't getting along well with one of the friends on the trip. And today, to this day, I don't have a clear understanding of what caused all of that. I mean, there were no fistfights on the beach or anything, but we were just kind of going out of our way to avoid each other and not talking with each other. And it was really troubling. And I know it impacted the rest of the group as well. And instead of immediately trying to go and resolve things and confess and ask for forgiveness, approaching this friend in humility, trying to get to the bottom of what was going on, I just kind of let things stay as they were and damage the relationship in the process. And even though we talk things out later, this remains a regret of one of my past summers. And so I hope our time together this morning can help keep us from having those kinds of regrets this summer. So let's begin with talking with God for a moment, and then we'll look at the Word together. Father, thank you that your Spirit is with us and among us here this morning. And we pray and we trust that he is active and he will minister to each heart here, including my own, that the words spoken this morning would be honoring and pleasing to you as you know is best. Thank you for your abiding presence here. Do a mighty and powerful work as only you can for your glory, for you are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. So I don't know what your summer might be looking at or looking like at this point, or what adventures might lie ahead, but no matter what your summer may have in store, I believe there's a great example in Scripture that can help us not miss out what the Lord may have for us. Not for this, just for this summer, but for a lifetime. And that example is found in the life of Caleb. To begin, I'm going to read some verses from the book of Numbers, chapters 13 and 14. And they'll be on the screen in a second, but just know that I've pulled out selected verses. I encourage you to go back and read the entire chapters if you'd like. Just for time's sake, I'm not going to read through the entire chapters. I've just pulled out selected verses to give us a feel for the flow of Scripture. So let's start here, and I'll try not to butcher some of these long names too badly. The Lord said to Moses, "Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders." At the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land, and they gave Moses this account. "We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But Always take note when you see the word but in Scripture. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size." So just to pause real quick, you see what's going on here, right? There's kind of this one camp over here, Joshua and Caleb, who are saying, "Yeah, let's go do it." And then there's all the other guys who explored that same land and said, "No, things are too tough. We shouldn't go." And they're both trying to convince the people that they're right. So Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." And then the Lord was speaking to those who returned with the unfavorable reports. "Not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their ancestors. No one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it." So let's stop there just for a moment. So, which of these two reports was God most pleased with, right? That last slide, I think, says it all. Caleb is commended for the report that he gave, that he brought back to the people. We're going to fast forward now 45 years and take a look at some verses from Joshua chapter 14. After years of war and conquest, the land of Canaan finally does fall under the control of God's people. And Caleb now reminds Joshua of the promise that God made through Moses 45 years later. Joshua 14. "Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of all the people melt in fear. I, however, follow the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance, and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he's kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now, give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said." Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Thanks for bearing with me. I know that was a lot of verses, but I think it helps to paint a broad picture of what was going on here, both as Caleb originally explored the land and reported back to the people, and then 45 years later. And the first two things that strike me is that, one, Caleb's got a great memory, right? 45 years later, he's cashing in on God's promises. And two, you know, I'm just as vigorous as I was at 85 as I was when I was 40. And, you know, that's kind of a striking statement. I don't know if they had something like CrossFit back then or not, but Kayla must have been all about that. I'd like us to take a look at three qualities from Caleb's life that I think will help us get out of this summer all that God has for us. And the first one is that Caleb possessed an optimistic spirit. And we see this in the positive, encouraging report that he gave after exploring the land. Caleb focused on what was possible with God. He and Joshua were the only ones who believed that God would make a way for the Israelites to take the land that was promised to them. He agreed with the words of Jeremiah, who said, "Sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth. Nothing is impossible for you." And he agreed with Jesus, who said that with God, all things are possible. And he agreed with the Apostle Paul, who said, "I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." Too often, though, I think when we're faced with challenges, I can lean more towards the side of being pessimistic than optimistic. But shouldn't Christians be the most optimistic people on earth? I mean, we know how things turn out, don't we? That there should be no room for pessimistic thoughts of, well, this is just too tough. Or, I know this is just never going to work out. Or, there's no way out of this situation. Yet, too often I find myself thinking those kinds of thoughts. But yeah, we know how things are going to turn out. We know that evil and pain and death and suffering will one day be gone. We know that there will be a new heaven and a new earth as all of creation receives the completed work of redemption and freedom secured and promised in Christ. And we know that same God of whom Paul said works in all things for the good of those who love him. So this summer, let's focus on what's possible with God. Look to him to do big things. I find it really interesting that Caleb and all the rest, they saw the same things in the land. They saw the same fortified cities and powerful people. The difference was that those other guys saw obstacles. Caleb, seeing those same things, saw instead opportunity. Opportunity for God to demonstrate his power and his faithfulness. Those other guys, they compared the obstacles to themselves and, rightly concluded that there was no way they could stand up to them. That's one thing they did get right. But Caleb compared those obstacles to his God and also rightly concluded that those obstacles could not stand against the Lord. Caleb believed God would work even in the midst of obstacles. And all of us are likely to encounter some kind of potential obstacle this summer. Maybe struggles at work, in relationships, health, finances. Don't let these things keep you in focusing on what is possible with God. I mean, God's bigger than our jobs, right? And all of these other things also. Don't follow my example of when I was struggling in a relationship on that vacation. And I failed to see the opportunity for God to work at that time. Caleb told the people that they shouldn't be afraid because the Lord was with them. And remember that he's always with us too. And like Caleb, let that lead us to an optimistic spirit. One that sees obstacles as opportunities for God to show up in big ways. That's one way to have no regrets this summer. A second way is to follow Caleb's example of boldly embracing new challenges. And we see this in Caleb's willingness to explore the land, an unknown land at that time when Moses sent him, and again 45 years later when he claims that same land promised to him, even though it was still inhabited by some enemies. Caleb wasn't afraid of new challenges, and in fact drove out those people living in the land he was given. Do you remember that early scene in the first Lord of the Rings movie when Frodo and Sam are first leaving the Shire? They're walking through the field, and all of a sudden Sam stops and says, "This is it." And Frodo turns back and says, "This is what?" Sam says, "If I take one more step, this will be the furthest I've ever been from home." And of course, he takes that step and many, many more, and steps into many challenges and adventures. But it all started with that one step. You know, I've heard it said that our life with Jesus and Scripture in particular is more like a compass than a map. I know nobody uses maps anymore these days. If you don't know what a map is, Google it when you get out of church. But a map, it shows you your starting point, it shows you your destination, it shows you all the ways to get there in between, it shows you everything you're going to pass on your way to get there. A compass just says, take a step in this direction. It doesn't tell you how far your destination is, it doesn't tell you all the things you're going to encounter on the way. And I think that's what God's asking of us, to embrace challenges, to take a step of faith in the direction he's pointing until he tells us to take a step in a different direction, and trusting him for the destination, trusting him for everything that we encounter on the way. So what new challenges might you be facing this summer? Might you take a first step into this summer? There might be a lot that's new for you in the weeks and months ahead, and right now maybe more questions than answers. I encourage you to embrace these new challenges, a new job, a new relationship, new community. But what if you're sitting here thinking, well, my life's pretty much the same day after day without a whole lot of new things? Well, maybe this is an opportunity to pursue something new. Something or someone you've thought about for a while, but maybe allowed fear or uncertainties to keep you from acting. And I'm not talking something on a grand scale like conquering a new land like Caleb. It could be inviting a new neighbor to coffee. It could be inviting a coworker to consider the claims of Christ. Stepping out of our comfort zone to step into a situation we'd rather avoid, but that we know needs to be addressed. Think of this summer as an unknown land that God's given you to explore. And like Caleb, don't shy away from new challenges. But as it says in the book of Hebrews, to fix your eyes on Jesus and get excited about what God can do through them. This is the second way to have no regrets this summer. Underlying Caleb's optimistic spirit and his boldness in embracing new challenges was an unwavering trust in God. I alluded to that before. And this is a third quality Caleb possessed that we want to look at. Caleb wholeheartedly trusted God. He was convinced that God would actually do what he said he would do. He believed the words recorded a little bit later in the book of Numbers in chapter 23, that God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he the son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? It's a great example of one of the Bible's favorite literary devices, right? The rhetorical question, does he speak and then not act? You know, the author's not expecting us to give an answer to a question he doesn't know. The answer is obvious. Of course God's not going to speak and then not act. Of course God always acts when he speaks. This is actually found more often in the New Testament, in a lot of Paul's writings, right? In Romans comes to mind, Romans chapter 8. God is, I'm sorry, I'm trying to recall the verse. I had it memorized. Let me see. He who did not spare his own son. There we go. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? There's another example of a rhetorical question. How will he not also? That's actually a question, but it's kind of presented as a statement, right? Paul knows that there's no way God is not going to give us all good things. And that's what Caleb is trusting in. Caleb is trusting in that same God. Look how many times in the verses that I just read, we're told that Caleb followed the Lord God wholeheartedly. Multiple times. And as we saw in the last slide, Caleb was commended and rewarded for that. One of my favorite Christian authors is A.W. Tozer. Maybe some of you have heard of him. And in his book, The Pursuit of God, he says that sometimes the best way to see something a little more clearly is to take a look at its opposite. Okay, so if Caleb is an example of wholeheartedly trusting God, let's take a look at a time when some people didn't do a very good job of trusting God. We're going to go back to Exodus. I don't have these on the slide, but I'll be reading some scripture out of my Bible here in a minute. In Exodus chapter 24, we have the story of Moses going up to the mountain to receive the tablets with God's law written on them. And before he goes, he reminds the people of all of God's words, and they all respond that they agree and that they would obey when he's gone. And so for the next several chapters, Moses is on the mountaintop meeting with God, and then we get to chapter 32. Verse 1 of chapter 32 in Exodus says, "When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, 'Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what's happened to him.'" You know, he was still up on the mountain, and people were wondering if he was ever coming down. They forgot already about the promises they had made to Moses before he left. And now Aaron is faced with a choice, right? He can rightfully rebuke the people, tell them to keep trusting in God. He's going to be faithful. Moses is going to come down like he said he would. Or he can kind of cave in. And unfortunately, that's what happened. Listen to Aaron's bright idea in the next few verses. Aaron answers the people, "Take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, your daughters are wearing and bring them to me." So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed them and made it into an idol cast into the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." So Aaron caves in to the people, and he makes this this golden calf, as it's been come to know, be known. But the story doesn't end there. We know Moses eventually does come down from the mountain, right? And he's not too happy, right, when he sees what's going on. He's understandably upset, and so he confronts Aaron when he comes down from the mountain. He said to Aaron, "What did these people do to you that you led them into such great sin?" And, you know, Aaron at this point knows he's caught, right? He knows he's caught. And you can imagine what he might be thinking. Hey, Moses, I guess you made it down from the mountain after all, right? And he comes up with what I think is a pretty lame excuse, and in my opinion gives us the funniest verse in the Bible. Chapter 24. "I told the people, 'Whoever has any gold jewelry, take it off.' So far, that's true. Then they gave me the gold, and I threw the gold into the fire, and out came this calf." Seemingly all by itself, right? I had nothing to do with it. We put in the gold, and somehow the calf jumped out. Really, Aaron, that's the best you can come up with. So the lesson for us is to be more like Caleb and less like Aaron and the Israelites in this case. Where do you need to trust God in your life right now? Is there a promise from Scripture you need to believe God for? There's no greater promise to hold on to than the life that is ours through Jesus, both for now and for eternity. If you haven't trusted in God's promise to you through his son, this is the place to start. Talk with somebody today about what it means to place your faith in Jesus. And if you're not familiar with God's word and don't know the amazing promises that we can trust him for, then make that your new challenge for this summer, to get to know the Bible and to get to know the God who speaks to us through the Bible. And if you already have a saving faith and a personal relationship with God through Jesus, seek to follow him and to trust him wholeheartedly, with your whole heart, with all of your heart. Take him at his word and trust that he will actually do what he says he will do. Trust that he's faithful to fulfill his promises in your life, just like he was for Caleb. I'm going to end our time with a couple of my favorite quotes about living with no regrets. We must all suffer from one of two pains, the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. The difference is discipline weighs ounces while regret weighs tons. And I would rather regret the things that I have done than the things that I have not. Now, I'll let these largely speak for themselves, except to say that the quote from that great theologian, Lucille Ball, does not mean that living with no regrets includes being reckless in our decision making, or that we proceed without considering how our actions might impact other people. But neither can we let pessimism and fear and doubt keep us from all that God has for us. So, having an optimistic spirit, boldly embracing new challenges, and wholeheartedly trusting God, these are lessons from Caleb's life that I think can serve us well this summer and for a lifetime. These can also be marks of transformation, of God working in our lives to make us more and more who he created us to be. Let's let the example of Caleb, and more importantly, the God of Caleb, to impact our lives this summer and beyond. If we do this, we'll be able to look back to summer 2019 with no regrets. Let me pray. God, you are good. Thank you that you are altogether faithful and trustworthy, and you do what you say you will do. Oh, Lord, help us, help me to believe that more and more. And may that result in my life being different as you complete the good work that you've begun in all of us. We're grateful for this time, and we thank you. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen.